Mr. Robertson, would you introduce the next topic?
Okay, we're moving on to item 10. Item 10 is an update on the grants program. It is an information item and requires no board action. Our grants program includes a huge variety of financial assistance opportunities for applicants and stakeholders to use for the improvement of surface water, groundwater, and habitat quality. Our grants program manager, Katie McNeil, will highlight some current projects drawing from these funds as they address some of the region's highest water quality priorities, and she'll talk a little bit about how we've aligned our grants program to mirror our organizational priorities. And with that, I'll hand it over to Katie.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wolf and members of the board. My name is Katie McNeil, and I'm here today to talk about the grants program at Region 3. I had planned a 20-minute presentation, but I will skip over some slides in the interest of time. So I'll be talking about the program background, our goals, how we're aligned with grant funding. I will provide some highlights and mention a few newly awarded projects. We have an increasingly successful program here on the Central Coast. We've been trying to increase the effect of our grants by shifting to more tangible outcomes. We are quantifying our on-the-ground implementation and pollutant load reductions and having grantees do this. We, over the last 20 years, we have received over $200 million with tens of millions in matching funds that have been provided in our region, and we have been increasingly targeting priority areas and water quality issues. The goals of our grant program include alignment with our vision, outreach to priority areas to achieve our percent targets for funding, staying on budget and schedule with your effective management, integration with total maximum daily loads, irrigated lands regulatory programs, and our monitoring, Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program, and others. We are holding accountable to outcomes that are proposed in grant applications. And our grants leverage funds, where 75% of the project is funded by grants and the other 25% is typically funded by landowner and other agency contributions. And these projects are supporting DACs in our region by prioritizing those projects and waiving matches, for example. So in our region, our staff managed 17 projects totaling about $7.5 million. Most of these are through non-point source and ag grants. We are consistently meeting our performance targets by receiving between 15 and 28% of the funding that's available for the state to our region as part of our non-point source grants. And state board administers lots of grants. They have numerous different grant funding. I am going to be touching on the stormwater grant projects, which we've received 60% of the statewide funding for our region alone. So currently, we have numerous projects throughout the region, as shown in dots, but these represent watersheds that represent thousands of acres across the entire region. Different project types that we have in the region. There's a variety of project types, and these are implementation grants, these are planning grants, and I'll go through these and I'll skip over a few that might, we don't need to go in as much detail on some of them. To start, our rural restoration and rural road improvement projects. These are some of our older projects. There's four in our region right now, and they total about $1.5 million. They have outcomes that relate to the project practices with articulated load reductions, and many of the projects result in voluntary practice implementation outside of the grant funds. They are scattered throughout the region. As an example, the San Lorenzo River Erosion Control Project is a technical cost share to private road associations in critical TMDL waters that are supporting salmon. The best management practice is reducing road-derived sediment loads from private properties. And through this project, various rural road and home drainage projects were implemented, which resulted in additional practices that were implemented by workshops, as I mentioned, voluntary implementation after grant funds have already been spent on specific projects. And measurable reductions, they're estimating sediment that is prevented episodically and then throughout every year as a result of the grant funds. Some example, I'm going to pass through this. This rain barrel project is an example of what they're doing. And again, they're putting in road improvements to reduce sediment that's discharged to the San Lorenzo. Education, landowners are out there learning about these things and doing them on their own. Again, livestock and land projects to control manure. This project in particular, there were many sites throughout the region, and they're estimating their load reductions at 7,000 tons of sediment and nitrogen over all of the different projects and millions of colonies of bacteria. So they're really calculating these loads and trying to have accountable, tangible outcomes. A road project up in Camp San Luis Obispo. Again, it's a before and after picture showing how they corrected the roads through installing inboard ditches. The Morro Bay Ag Water Quality Enhancement Project. This is a before and after picture. This project installed over 30,000 feet of riparian fencing, and they have offered cost share incentives to the landowners to put these practices in on their own. Finally, the Coastal San Luis RCD also implemented a large woody debris and restoration project up in Los Osos Creek, stabilizing the bank. Our on-farm and irrigation nutrient management practices are some of our most important projects for groundwater protection. We have four projects: Pajaro, Salinas, Morro Bay, and Santa Maria. Total dollars are about $1.5 million. We have practices that are being put in place to reduce water use and fertilizer use, and the grantees are tracking their load reductions and how the practices are being applied to a larger area. These are happening all over the region, as you can see in through these dots, and the dots represent tens of thousands of acres. In the Salinas Valley, they have accomplished about 70 on-farm assessments with 12 growers that applied their practices that learned on about 500 acres and applied to over 10,000 acres in the Salinas Valley. And they're estimating the load reductions in water savings and nitrogen fertilizer reductions into the groundwater. Yes, distribution uniformity, and you can see this. Here are pictures of on-farm assessments on strawberry fields. They're doing irrigation scheduling, distribution uniformity, nice segue, and nutrient management. This is a picture of a newly installed California Irrigation Management and Information System. It's a SEMA station. This is a new station, and growers across 60,000 acres will be able to access this information. And this will provide the growers with information to so that they can understand their crop need. So it's quite significant. Similarly, in the Pajaro, they're doing assistance cost sharing to farmers throughout several watersheds. And source control is so critical But we also have another type of project, and it's this agricultural treatment, bioreactors, and wetland restoration. So in our region, we have 6 bioreactors, and they're different kinds. There's some that are right at the edge of the field, at the edge of roads that are draining adjacent farms. There's collective drainage bioreactors that are pulling water from ag ditches and treating it and putting it back. And then there's larger watershed scale bioreactors that are draining, that are pulling water out of a water body and treating it and discharging the water, the cleaner water, back into the channel. We also have wetland treatment systems in 3 other areas, and these projects total $3.5 million. And they are some of them are still in construction, and some of them have just been put into place, and they're articulating the outcomes and the load reductions from each. You can see the dots scattered throughout the region. I mentioned the on-farm bioreactor. This one is off Los Osos Valley Road. You can see the windmill as you drive by. It's being pumped. The windmill is pumping tile drains and treating 27 acres of irrigated ag land. And the reductions are significant.
Now, are those measurements or are those estimations?
These are measurements, but then it's extrapolated to over time. Like, it's not continually measuring. So they take samples, and then they can determine how much per year.
Just tell me your prior slides, you had used the word estimated reductions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there's going to be follow-up where there are actually measurements made.
Mm-hmm.
To determine whether the estimates turned out to be accurate.
I use estimated with sediment in particular because they can't really capture it and weigh it.
But maybe they measure height
mm-hmm.
difference.
They do. Yes.
To come up with that.
Mm-hmm. They're measuring the amount of bank that was restored,
okay.
And they're looking at slope, and they're
okay.
looking at erosivity. So
okay.
estimate, it's calculated.
Okay.
It's not just a guess.
Okay.
Picture of the bioreactor in the Morro Bay watershed. The tile drains, you're looking at Warden Creek, the tile drains are coming towards the windmill and flow through the wood chips that you can see in the center. Outreach events are important to demonstrate that this can be done. These are options for growers to put on their farm. Another example up in the Elkhorn Slough. The bioreactor is located at the, right here. This is right here. And so it's flowing through, it's capturing 10 acres of tailwater. And this is in strawberry production. This is a larger bioreactor. Located up in it's Ocean Mist Farms up in the Morro Coho Salinas area. This is treating 100 acres. Yes.
Stop me there for just a second.
Sure.
Is this a larger and second Ocean Mist project? They took us on a waterboard tour and showed us Ocean Mist. Dale Hiss was the guide.
Yes.
And it was much smaller than what's in the photos. That's why I'm asking, is this a second-generation project?
I believe that the one that you went to was on the west side of Highway 1, and this is on the east, so this is another one that Dale is...
Okay.
This is his.
So was this a second one done, mm-hmm. or was it concurrent to the first one that we
This
saw?
Was after.
Okay. Thank you. Does that mean the first one was not successful enough
mm-hmm.
to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
And all of these, they're learning every time they do it because they're innovative and they're all different. So, and another one, this is on land trust property, and they're estimating 2,000 pounds per year they will be reducing nitrogen loading to groundwater. Some of you might have been to this one on State Parks property by Osta Flacco. This is much larger in that it's pulling water from Little Osoflaco Lake, and it's treating it, and it's discharging it back into the lake. It could be larger, and it could treat more. They just need more money.
Isn't that the one also we're playing around with the berries?
Yes. Yes, so this is the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District. And Peter Mertens in my office was the project manager on this one. This is our largest bioreactor. It's going to be done next month. And the picture on the bottom is the pit that the wood chips are going into. On the top left here is Bradley Channel. And this channel has flow from 5,700 acres of ag land, so it's quite significant. And the water is being pumped, will be pumped out into this bioreactor, and they're estimating up to 50,000 tons of nitrogen removal a year. So this is pounds of nitrogen removal a year. It's 200 gallons per minute that will be pumped through this bioreactor. And this one is in a disadvantaged community, as are a couple of the other ones I mentioned. A different type of project is up in Castroville, in the Salinas Valley, is an 18-acre constructed wetland near where the Ocean Mist Farms bioreactor is, just south of Moss Landing. It's going to be treating 600 to 1,000 acres of agricultural lands that are, they used to be in artichokes and Brussels sprouts. And the early data that's coming off this, it was just put in, but the nitrate concentrations are twice the drinking water standard going in and under the drinking water standard coming out. So this is a before and after picture. You can see on the before picture, it's just a fallow field, and after, there's wildlife and the water is being treated. There's actually another bioreactor, you can't see it, but it's going to be installed right here to pre-treat the water before it comes into this wetland. This is an event that happened. They turned the pumps on and the wetland flooded. And this project has been dedicated to Melanie Mayer Gideon, who was instrumental in accepting the funding for this project and making it happen. And I'm sure some of you know she was a former board chair. This is a vegetative treatment system that's about a third of a mile long. And it's intercepting 86 acres of strawberry and vegetable production. And they're seeing about a 73% reduction in nitrogen. You're familiar with Pinto Lake. I won't go into much detail. I know you were updated by the board last month. But they're working on restoring it through a grant and alum treatment next month. Actually, it'll probably be April now. Lastly, Osoflaco Lake is a planning grant to assess the extent of the legacy pesticides and develop a remediation plan of how to address the problem. We've heard a bit about safe drinking water projects. Water Today with the Human Right to Water resolution, and this is a different type of project, but one that's very important for the protecting human health as a core value. These two groups, Environmental Justice Coalition for Water and Coalition for Urban Rural Environmental Stewardship CURES, found homeowners with nitrate-contaminated drinking water. And they were in disadvantaged communities, and some were limited resource growers. They found 40 households that needed bottled water. Some were kids, but it was an area of three different areas up in the Watsonville and Salinas region. Two reverse osmosis systems were installed, and to date they have provided thousands of gallons of water, and by the end of this project they will have provided 60,000 gallons of water to people that didn't have it before. And we are working with the community to find these short-term solutions as well as long-term solutions and additional funding to continue their drinking water in the interim. A couple pictures. This is a an area that EJCW worked in, and they provided bottled water to the residents here. And this is an RO, reverse osmosis system, that Cures installed, working with Culligan. State Board administers grants that help stormwater, and they are managing them, but we provide input by reviewing the proposals. And they are planning grants to conduct stormwater resource planning and implementation grants for stormwater capture, infiltration, and treatment. $30 million was awarded in Region 3 of the money that was available statewide. So we received quite a bit of stormwater grant funding, and the matching funds that were provided by the applicants and the grantees count to about $20 million, so $50 million worth of projects, and you include the funding that the local entities brought to the table. And here's a map of all the stormwater grant projects. I won't go into the detail. They're in the staff report, though. Two newly awarded projects, and this is the last of it. The Strawberry Certification Program, this was recently awarded, and the California Strawberry Commission will be establishing a third-party certification in the Pajaro, the Salinas, and the Santa Maria Valleys. And the certification will have practice requirements, minimum requirements, verification protocols, and they plan to enroll 10,000 acres of strawberry growers in our region over a three-year period. And this project is, we're negotiating the grant agreement, and we anticipate that grant agreement to be executed in March. The second new project through non-point source funds is the Pajaro Toxicity Reduction Project, also an innovative project that will be funding the grantee to design and implement projects and practices including carbon filters to reduce neonicotinoid and pyrethroid pesticides at 8 sites over 500 acres, and they anticipate up to a 96% reduction through some of these innovative practices. This project is $450,000. So this project is $499,715 in grant funds, and they have a 25% match. So it's no, 25% on top of the, so it's a $715,000 project. So in conclusion, so we have a successful program here at the Central Coast with a variety of projects that incentivize and demonstrate a suite of practices to choose from in our highest priority areas. We exceeded our targets for numbers.
shifted in the last few years to measuring tangible outcomes, and we're having grantees report out on load reductions. And the load reductions are even larger when you consider the demonstration sites and the additional implementation that worked on participants. Our projects are cost shared with landowners, and the landowners are leveraging their funds, their land, they're offering agricultural land, they're offering up their labor. These are cost shared. So that, you know, the agency provides the expertise and their time, and you know, they grant them fund for the ground construction for a 50% construction target fund. And materials are provided too. The agencies will donate wood chips, and that's part of the project as well. So we've prioritized addressing environmental justice issues through many projects. Matches are often made for Spanish native communities. They qualify. So we will continue to work with the board to establish and align these grant projects with our highest priorities and achieve the outcome of the water quality.
You referred to a 29,000 acre feet per year water savings from some grant implementation. It just sounded like such a high number. It made me want to ask now, is that a pretty accurate number, or is there some estimation involved?
There is estimation. This is a project that is just finishing up. So the UC Proper Extension, Michael Tom Lockhart, and the RCD Margaret County, they've been working with the growers, and they've been asking them and measuring their water savings and asking them how they've been working with them on a smaller scale of 500 acres, and then they have extrapolated to the smaller area because these growers own multiple farms, fields, and not just the ones that they've been assessing on. So, it is their estimated
numbers. Okay. And then later on, you mentioned a water scale bioreactor, and that's impressive.
Water scale?
Watershed scale.
Right.
And I'm wondering how big, what did you mean by that? How big was the watershed?
So I refer to two bioreactors as,
am I on now? Was I on the whole time? No? Well, I won't have to go back and listen to my presentation. Two bioreactors I refer to as watershed scale because they're at the tail end of the watershed. In this case, it's Oso Flaco, and it's pulling water out of Little Oso Flaco Lake, and it's treating that water. This is pulling water out of the Bradley Channel, Bradley Watershed, which is draining 5,700 acres of ag lands and 1,000 acres of urban lands. So it's really treating a much larger area.
Almost 7,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Oso Flaco example, approximately, what size is that watershed that's being drained through that bioreactor?
I don't know off the top of my head the size of the watershed.
Okay, that's fine.
A lot of the state park land that they lease to growers,
yes.
You know, that's part of that watershed. So I'll throw a guess what I know about that area. I'm going to say 800 acres. It's pretty flat, and you get a lot of your drain ditches going in there.
And I think with additional funding, they could make this bigger and could treat more water.
Oh, yeah. So in my case, it's not a question, it's a comment, is that you have a stellar reputation amongst ERCDs within our region for being a go-getter, a great collaborator in helping them, you know, get the grants. And you also have a reputation as being pretty tenacious in helping. So not just, oh, okay, this is an opportunity to work on it. So you really put your heart and soul in it. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So after this great shining example of how, as a regional water quality control board, we're not only regulators, but we're also facilitators. And I think that's something, you know, we all need to remember. I call this meeting of January 26th adjourned, and it is 20 past 5, and see all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Thank you very much.